All right. Welcome back to the Third Sphere, where we're going to talk about...
Wait a second. This isn't the Third Sphere.
What? It's not the Third Sphere? Oh. All right. I got it. All right. Okay. Welcome back to the award-winning team-building exercise, and we're going to be talking about the Asterians. Now, today the Asterians...
No. Sorry, Coach. Coach, no, we're not doing that either. This is a whole other ball of wax.
Really? It's not the award-winning team-building exercise?
No.
Jack, oh. I think he had a stroke.
Wait a minute. All right, hold on one second. Georgie, it's not team-building. You got to go back in the cage.
Oh, okay. Excelsior.
Man, go put that. What the hell is going on? Oh, is way too far?
Nope. We're gonna have a wrap up of the Conquest of Triton tournament that you may or may not have held.
This is Dead Zone the podcast?
Yes, it is. This is Dead Zone the podcast.
Holy smokes! I haven't been invited back to you guys since 2 years ago. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, the moratorium has been lifted. The ban. We've taken your picture down from beside the cash register.
Nice.
You're allowed to use checks here once again.
Good. Statute of limitation has been lifted, and I can
back. You are on probation, though, so watch your P's and Q's there, mister.
All right. So just for everybody out there, I'll see you in about 2 more years.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to episode 74.5 of Dead Zone the Podcast. In this episode, we have Coach on to talk about his tournament he just held. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now, here's Coach. Yeah, so there was a tournament that was held in the magnificent Flushing, New York, in, at the end of July, with Coach as its host. Coach, please let us know what this tournament was all about and why you started it.
All right, well, I just want to, you know, I saw that, like, the guys in England and that guy in Spain, I don't know if he had a tournament yet, but they're having all these awesome tournaments. And I said, you know, man, you know, it'd be great if I can go to one of these. But, you know, to go to Spain or England, which I'd love to hang out with the boys over there in England, I really would. But it's just not feasible right now, you know, job and money and whatnot. So I said, well, if I can't go there, why don't we just bring it here and do something here? So then I decided to have a 200-point Dead Zone tournament. And, you know, I got to thank Andy Shar because he really helped me out with the tournament pack. But I figured let's get it together. Let's do something great that guys can come and play and get some really good prize support, some really good prizes and some nice trophies and just have a good time. And it ended up being a great day. You know, we had a lot of people who were supposed to come that couldn't make it. And they said they'll definitely be at the next one, which was going to be a ramp up for Adepticon. And, you know, that's about it. I just wanted to do, you know, I always wanted to have a tournament around here. Why do I have to wait for Adepticon? And then I turn around and I just looked at myself in the mirror and said, you got to do it yourself to get the ball rolling or it's never going to happen. And that was it. And therefore was the Conquest of Triton. And ironically, I looked in the source book and I was trying to pick stuff out and I said, oh, Triton, that sounds pretty cool. And then Operation Heracles takes place on Triton. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was wondering, you didn't know that?
No, I did not. It was just totally random, you know, like, remember like in Planet of the Apes where Caesar picks his own name from the book? It kind of was like that.
Yeah, it's just, that's funny because I noticed that later and we're like, oh, you must have known he purposely did it as like a prelude to that, but it was all a coincidence.
Just so everybody knows, I'm not that calculating and deep. So
That can't happen, that kind of synergy. That's, I got my name from the book, The Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
Toto?
Check.
That's a Zardoz reference. I don't expect anyone to get it.
That's the one when Sean Connery is wearing a pair of Speedos the whole movie.
Yes, it is.
And the tall boots. Yeah, I know. I've seen Zardoz.
Yeah.
It's one of Jack's favorite movies.
And as well it should. Sean Connery's got nice legs.
So, yes, there was a tournament, and you had some special guests, because you had Community Pat was there.
Community Pat was there. He flew all the way in from Chicago. And then I also had Jack. I don't know if you know this, but we had a media superstar. Like we go to the tippy top of tiers in entertainment. And he actually came from all the way from the Northern Hemisphere.
Wow. I'm in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yes. It was our own Robert Harper.
I did make the trip down to New York. I survived. I was not stabbed. I expected to be at any second.
First of all, you're in the burbs, though, brother. So
yeah, we were pretty safe.
If you wanted to get stabbed, you can come to work with me.
We were almost hit by a deer at one point, but
that was actually pretty cool. That was you would come all the way down from Canada, and we almost hit a deer in Long Island. You know, but then it was my whole crew was there, and then. We had a new guy, Robert, a buddy of mine came up, did pretty well. And then, Daria Winter or Linda Ackerman, I don't know the nomenclature, but she came all the way up from Virginia. So we had a decent tournament. What was kind of special about it was my buddy Rob, Harper, was a noob to Dead Zone. And I keep saying that it's kind of a testament to the Dead Zone rules that I gave him a quick, like, introductory and stuff. And he, you know, I built his list for him, gave him an introductory, gave him the rule book. He watched a few bat reps from Family Gamers, and he ended up winning two games, doing well for himself in the tournament. He actually came in fifth. So, you know, that just shows you how easy it is to pick up Dead Zone.
Yep. That's created a new Dead Zone player out of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but it was pretty good. You want me to run down the final results or?
Sure.
Well. Yeah, if you want to, if that's you've got that information handy, and we didn't ask for you to have it available before we started recording, then we'll just.
It did not, but I memorized it.
Okay.
You guys want to go by round or just final?
We can go by round. We'll talk about some of the action.
Okay, yeah, we got time.
We got nothing but. All right, so round one, we did the regular. It was your basic patrol mission, and no secret missions. So. What it was you would get it was a maximum of 20 victory points. And if you tabled your opponent, you would get 20 victory points. And even if your opponent, let's say, didn't have 20 points of models on the table, and you would, let's say, for argument's sake, added up to 18, you would get the maximum of 20 victory points. So the first one was just a regular standard patrol mission. It was, Robert with the Ford Fathers beat Linda, who was taking Veerman. Andrew was devastated by Mr. Robert Harper because I hear there was a lot of cheating going on, but I don't want to, I didn't witness it. I don't know. Then Ryan went against Pat winning that. And then Ryan was the Esther Ryans versus Pat's enforcers. And Eric with the GCPS beat Hot Dice, who was taking the plague with a punishing loss. So that was round one. Round two is the artifact retrieval, which was a newer mission. So it was kind of a culmination of four different missions where I put eight artifacts in the middle of the table. And in each corner of your deployment zone, you could pick up one of the artifacts and run off with it, but they weren't considered items. So even if you didn't have a shoot stat, you could pick it up and run with it. Just the beasts could not, anyone with the beast ability could not pick up the artifact and drop it off. So in that one, Rob got devastated by Pat's enforcers. Linda's Veerman lost to Ryan, this is Esther Ryan's. Robert Tremarco with the Forge Fathers lost to E-Rock's GCPS. And then Andrew's Rebels lost to Hot Dice's Plague. So that was round two. Round three was thinning of the ranks. And basically, if you brought a specialist army, they were all double victory points. So it was a tough one because some of the people brought an elite list, and those are the ones, you know, they're very powerful, but they are very, very, very tough. So in this one, Esther Ryan's lost to the Forge Fathers. Very close. It was 24-27. So he got maximum points. He got 25 points for the mission, but he ended up losing to Robert's Forge Fathers. Pat Lewis, Enforcers, ended up beating Erox GCPS. Sorry about that, Jack. And then Linda's Veerman beat Andrew's Rebels, which at this point, Andrew's saying that he wanted to win last place. And then Hot Dice's Plague beat the Asterians of Mr. Harper. Last mission was Search and Destroy. Good old-fashioned Search and Destroy. I love that mission. There's nothing you can do about it. Regular. So the Rebels, Andrew's Rebels, lost to Ryan's Esterians. Pat's Enforcers beat the new Rob Tremarco's Forge Fathers. The Erox GCPS beat Linda's Veerman. And Mr. Harper got even more trounced against Hot Dice's Plague. So the final score was, we'll go worst to first like we did. Let's go. Best sportsman was Robert Tremarco, our brand new player. Best painted went to Ryan Carvano, who did the Asterians. And eighth place was Andrew, who brought the Rebels. And what we do is when you come in last place, we gave you the plastic spatula and he won Mars Attacks, which since you suck at Dead Zone, you could maybe play another game. So we gave him the Mars Attacks game. Seventh place was Rob, Mr. Harper. Sixth, Linda Ackerman with her Veerman. Fifth, Robert Tremarco with his Forge Fathers. Fourth, Hot Dice with the Plague. Third, Ryan with his Esther Ryans. Second was E-Rock with his GCPS. And in first place, and the conqueror of Triton. And if you watch the video on Family Gamers, he was crowned with a very, very expensive crown, handcrafted. And it was our own community Pat with his Enforcers. So that was it. That was the final score. And it was great. And I'll tell you what, first and second was only like 9 points difference. Second and third was a 10-point difference. Third and fourth was a 3-point difference. Fourth and fifth was a 5-point difference, and so on and so forth. So it got really first through fifth was very close. And in my eyes, you know, not just because I ran it, I think it was a pretty good success. I mean, Rob, you were there. What'd you think?
Yeah, I like the way the points work, because even if you lost, you still had a good chance. Because Hot Dice, he came in, what, third or fourth, I think, technically, because Pat did step back, so he didn't take any prizes, so people moved up. But yeah, Fabian lost a few games, but he still was right up there because he kept getting lots of points.
Right. Well, in the first round, I mean, he got destroyed. He only got 4 points. And then in the second round, he went against – where is he? I can't find him. Yeah, he went against the Rebs. He ended up beating the Rebs, and that's what happened. He lost his first game really bad, and then the third game when he played you twice, and he ended up beating you twice, getting max points, and that's what propelled him to the top.
Yes, I must say I helped him up there, but no, but yeah. It was good. It was just it was a good way it set up, and it was fun.
Yeah, it's similar to the Kings of War stuff. You know, we kind of it's a bastardized version of that, and I kind of like it because you don't need the secret mission. Everybody's playing for the same thing. Everybody has a chance to get the same amount of points on both sides. It's an even playing field because, you know, sometimes you'll get a mission, a secret mission that's totally not for your faction. And then your opponent might get a mission that there's no way he can lose because it really favors his type of army. And I never liked that. You know, that happened in the first Adepticon where, you remember the old cards used to have, like, if they were in red highlights, that would be like, you know, a core mission and you get double points for that. I never liked that. I thought that was terrible because that, you know, you get a chance to get three core missions and I have one and I maybe can't accomplish it. So this was a way to even it out. I like the fact that both opponents have the same opportunity to score the same amount of points in the game. Yeah.
As for my tournament, yeah, I started off with Andrew, and my Pulse Bombards actually worked really well against him, and he had no armor in any of his army, so I was able to destroy him, and I felt really bad. But after that, Karma came back and kicked me in the butt, so it all worked out. And that last game where I got trounced, Fabian did the exact same thing to me, but he was doing indirect. I was at least doing line of sight, and he destroyed my army. He did like 18 points of damage, or 18 VP worth of damage in the first, like, salvo. It was like, geez, he taught me how I taught Andrew. It was a sad, sad sight.
Turnabout is fair play.
That's
right. But it was funny too, because I was like, "You guys are done already?" You go, "Yeah, we're done." He killed like most of my army in the first round.
Yeah. And I did find that I was very lacking on AP, that's why Pat destroyed me so badly. I could not hurt his army at all, because Pat was running like peacekeepers with shields, so they had armor 5 and things like that. So
right, yeah, he had basically his army was very simple. He took the peacekeeper captain, a dog drone, 3 enforcers, and then 2 peacekeepers, 1 with a shield. I'm sorry, 2 with the shields, and that was it. So he brought basically five, six, 7 models. That was it.
Yeah, and he was tank, so they were hard to kill. Like that's everybody had a problem with them.
I think what it was is a lot of guys just weren't used to handling guys with high armor. I think that was the big issue, because you know the peacekeeper captain is armor 2, and then the other 2 guys would be armor 3. So you know, dealing with armor is tough. You know, you have to figure a way to figure it in, figure it out with that. But you know, that I think that's people weren't ready for that, and then. I think Eric came close, but
He had his he was in the GCPS with the aerial deployment and had some snipers, I think, with the aerial deployment, and that was so he'd get him up high ground, lots of dice, but it still wasn't enough. He still got
you know what it was? It didn't come down to armor, it didn't come to anything. It was basically Pat. It was like, you know, there was one thing where Eric rolled, I think, 11 successes, and Pat made every save. So he was just on fire. So that particular match, other than, you know, he had the armor and everything, it just came down to he was rolling so hot in that thing. Like his guy, his captain survived like eight bouts of shooting from, you know, for 2 rounds from 4 guys just zeroing in on him. And I was like, well, shoot somebody else. He goes, no, I don't have line of sight to everybody else. And the other guy was, you know, in combat with his leader, so he wouldn't shoot at that guy. And he just kept pounding away, and Pat was making saves left and right like he was going out of style. So that you know, that doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, so the game that I played with Hot Dice the first time, that was a close game, but his Hot Dice came through. All of a sudden he was rolling really well. And I was like, this isn't right. Why are you getting hot when you're playing me?
Right. Yeah, that was the final score was just in game, not in victory points, was 19-26.
Yeah.
So that was very close. And you were. I was watching that for a little while, and it was really back and forth a lot.
Yeah, you know? it was good. Then the other game was just he got really good with the indirects, and that's what got me.
You know what I think? I think he scoped you out and figured out how to beat you, and then
playing somebody twice in a row, he could see how his army could. He just charged me with everything pretty much.
Also, you know, he's coming from like the guys who play him are, you know, we're a bunch like it's like a den of vipers, so. You know. It's cutthroat.
You got to learn quick, yeah.
Yeah, you got to, you know.
But I think everybody had a great time, that's for sure.
You know what, too? I said it before that other than Rob, everybody else has been playing Dead Zone over 4 years.
Yeah, so, a lot of experience, yeah.
Yeah, it was a veteran crew coming in. And I think I had to answer one rules question, and it was about the shield drone.
Yeah, that's right. None of us knew that either. That was when we had to actually look up.
Yeah, we had to actually look up. It was right. So, Dario was right with that one. We just double checked it. But yeah, other than that, I didn't have to really answer any questions. I can't think of one other question that I had to answer other than, you know, how we were doing recon, how we were doing the missions and stuff, explaining things like that. Other than that, I really. It was very easy for me. It was cool because I was able to sit back, watch all the games, and then as the guys, you know, everybody finished their games, gave me the score sheets, I put them in the computer, and we went to town. So, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great.
And you had a lot of prize support, too. Let everybody know what kind of prizes there was.
Oh, man, I really got to thank all these guys. Well, first person I want to thank is Austin from Death Ray Designs. I sent an email out to him. And within 5 minutes, he read the email and like messaged me on Facebook. He said, what do you need, coach? And he just sent me a ton of awesome stuff. I built some stuff because what he was trying to do is ask me, how can this stuff fit into Dead Zone? And I picked 2 things to put in Dead Zone that would work. It was his those power cell things and just the little barriers that are basically the same thing as the Mantic ones. And we spread them out as scatter train all over the table, and they looked awesome. So I Death Ray Designs. I mean, I buy all my stencils from him. I buy a bunch of stuff, my grass from him, the static grass and stuff. They have everything. His MDF is awesome, and he doesn't really do too many videos, but when he does, he's a phenomenal painter. So, you know, just check him out, deathraydesigns.com. Just great guy, and he was very helpful to me. And, you know, when guys do that to something like that to me, I'll never buy from anybody else. That's just the way I am. And then another prize was from Mats by Mars. They sent us 5 mats, and we used them during the day, and 1 through 5th place got to take home one of the mats. You know, from first to fifth, they get to pick the mats. And what I noticed was we were using my terrain and E-Rock's terrain. And when we put the mats out, we put the terrain on it, and the terrain looked totally different on each mat. I was like, wow, this is – who painted – wait a minute, I painted that. Wow, it looks – the mat makes it look better. So I better buy more of these mats and make my stuff look good. So they really – you know, Mario came through. I just, you know, sent him a request. He's like, yeah, no problem. We'll send it to you. And the mats were beautiful. I mean, if you guys check out the video, some of the pictures on the blog, or even some of the live stuff on Family Gamers 777 Facebook page, you know, you still have the live stuff up there. You can check it out. It's actually really cool. And then I also have to thank Mantic Games, especially Joe Neat. I just sent him a request. They gave us Operation Heracles, an Interceptor, a Strunhammer. They gave us both novels, Mars Attacks for last place. And also everybody got a Pathfinder exclusive mini that's not being sold in stores. They don't sell them. So if you came to the tournament, you got that. You got the Death Ray Designs door prize, and just a ton of stuff, man. It was great. So our sponsors were phenomenal. I can't thank them enough. They really helped make the tournament just another level. And I'm eternally grateful to them.
And you had cool trophies too.
And yeah, well, that I just I did myself. You know, I'm a sports guy. I'm a sports coach, so you can't have a tournament without trophies, man. You know, so we got some. You know, I had some custom trophies made, and you know, we got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd best painted and sportsman. You know, that's who got everything. And then I had those crowns made, which were very expensive. That's I maybe by 2025 I'll have them paid off, but it was worth it. So. You know, it was just, I thought it went really smooth. It was really great. No hiccups, no nothing. And it seemed like everybody had a good time and I had no trouble. So, you know, I think it was great.
Cool. Yeah, it was a good time. Jack, you got to come out next time. That's for sure.
Yeah, Jack. Well,
I was impressed to see the amount of factions that it wasn't all like, there wasn't one faction that everyone took because clearly that's got the advantage. You know, there was enough that you could see, and I bet you that the more the game turns into a tournament game, the more that's going to be. You're not going to see everyone with Forge Fathers, everyone with Enforcers. It's nice. And Veerman showed up. Veerman. Mm-hmm. I applaud Daria for that bold move.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know what's great is I don't know if it was on Facebook or something like that, but people were saying about, you know, with Dead Zone with these net lists. But I don't see a net list in Dead Zone. Cause, you know, my enforcer list is totally different than Pat's enforcer list. You know, Rob's Forge Father list was, I mean, I made it for him, so I was glad that he ran it. But it wasn't like a super like I would say super competitive list. I just kind of gave him a little bit of each, a little taste of the Forge Fathers so that he would be able to play with it. And Andrew's Rebs list was just, you know, I thought it was very good, but, you know, seemed to not work out. So any dog will have his day, and it was great. You know, we had everything except the Marauders. That was the only fact. So it was Enforcers, GCPS, 2 Asterians. Can you imagine?
Yeah, of all things, yeah. And both me and Ryan's list, they weren't similar either, other than we had Khaleesi. But he had different leader, he had different drones, he was different, he had Black Talons, I had the drones. And
right, I mean, taking the same faction, you might run into one or two of the same models, but other than that, it wasn't like you were centered around the same thing.
Not at all.
Forgefather, Veerman, and Rebels. I mean, you know.
Imagine 2 years ago, someone coming to a tournament with the Rebs.
Right.
Veerman before this newest fix.
Veerman or Asterians. Imagine that.
Yeah, and Asterians
coming in 3rd.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so when you look at it, You know, and Pat taking an enforcer list without one Pathfinder.
Yeah, totally different from your winning list from Adepticon. Correct.
And that's just because of the way Pat plays and the way I play might be different, or we're kind of accomplishing different objectives or different goals in the game. That kind of constitutes what you're going to take, you know, you adapt it to your play style. And I just see it. And this is the thing. This is why we're all so passionate about Dead Zone, is because you can take, let's say, the enforcers, you can run them 11 different ways and you could still be successful, or you can get tabled. There is no true, you got to take this, it's so good, because you get proven wrong all the time. And, you know, the just the wide range, and we only had 8 people, and only the Asterians were doubled. It's astounding. Like Jack was saying, it's just incredible.
And Pat's list, it wasn't a wish list like from the award-winning team building exercise where you can pick anything. And his with all the Pathfinders, his was basically one sprue and the dog drone from another one. Like, it wasn't a pay to play situation. He made a list using one box set, basically. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but
not really, because he said he could build everything from Operation Heracles. That's what he. So if you buy that starter for Warpath, you can get exactly his list.
The dog drones in that. Oh,
yeah, they have Pathfinders and dog drones in that. Yeah, so.
I didn't know that.
I tell you, Heracles is pretty good, man. It's got a little bit of everything in there, especially for enforcers. But you know what? Pat brought a list that it's also like you throw it in your bag and fly somewhere.
Yeah, it's easy to carry. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes guys is like, what are you bringing? You know, like, we're going to Adepticon. What are you bringing? You know, especially like, you know, if you're playing 40K, or let's say when we play Firefight, I got to think about what I'm going to bring, but I got to be able to bring, you know, what I want to run. So if I have 400 models, it's not going to fit on the plane. I'm not going to be able to put it anywhere. So you got to think about that also.
And yeah, same in my Asterian list. I purposely, it was like, what, 9 models or something like that.
Right.
It was make sure it was small that could fit in my carry on. Cause yeah, I'm not bringing a horde army to a tournament in New York.
Even when we went to Adepticon, you're like, make sure you bring your, you told me, make sure I bring my aberration, cause we don't have room for it. I says, okay. And I had room for it and I brought it. And that's, you know, that's a real thing when you go into a big tournament, is can you bring every single model that you want to bring to the tournament that'll fit in your bag? Because, you know, plus when you go to Adepticon, you come back with 3 suitcases full of stuff. So, you know, coming back, you go there with a duffel bag, you come back with 3 bags full of stuff. So you got to be able to fit everything in.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. Other than that, it was a great time in New York. We got to hang out a lot. Played a lot of other games. We actually got to play Dungeon Saga, which was fun.
We played Dungeon Saga with Pat. Pat as the game master.
We played expert game master. Yeah.
Yeah, we played Test of Honor.
That was cool. Really fun. Like, I was impressed with that game. It was good, right? Samurai game from Warlord, is it?
Yeah, Warlord. And it's funny because I didn't know this, but the guy who wrote Firefight, Matt Hobday, was one of the writers for Test of Honor.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
We just played like the random guys, and so it wasn't like lists that were good particularly, but we had a fun time.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. You know, we basically let me take one of these, 3 of these, 2 of these, 1 of these, just, and it was an even thing, but the mechanics and everything was fun. I was glad we got to play that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did do Dead Zone Bat Rep that a lot of people are watching and ripping us apart from us. Messing up rules.
Well, that was about 10 red bursts in at the time, so.
Yeah, it was, but you know what though? That was just us having a goofy fun time, man. It was pretty good. And even with all the stupid rules, the Veermen actually held their own.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It came down to a stun grenade for me to win. That's the best part about that game.
He killed a guy, dropped a stun grenade, and then what did you do? You activated my Night Terror?
Yeah, because he was going to start ripping apart all my drones. So I had to stop him. And it just happened to be that round. I was able to kill him. And then he would have gotten into cover and it would have been lights out.
It would have been bad because I had a splat with the surge. And then I had an extra fight for him. So it would have been, it would have been something, you know?
Yeah, it was fun times though. It was really good. And thank you for, letting me and Pat stay at your house, because
no, it was a pleasure.
We were
man.
Trouble. That's what capital T.
Yeah, you guys are rambunctious, but it was, you know, it was good because we weren't, you know, I didn't have to drive anybody to a hotel, so we just kind of hung out all night, and then it was like, all right, we're going to bed. Oh, good morning. Let me cook you guys breakfast. Let's go. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was a whirlwind trip, but it was really fun.
Yeah. Jack, you missed it, man. Rob got the he got the executive. You know,
I saw the pictures. I saw the barbecue. Yeah. I saw him on the YouTube's old Dickard playing Dead Zone. Yeah, it looked like he was having fun.
Mm-hmm. I wanted him. He should have came out. He had his drink. He should have came out with a pipe. And you know, hello, ladies.
The thing is, though, I asked Rob afterwards. I said, so now you know that's a tournament. Now we can get ready for Adepticon. And his response was a lighthearted one, but also full of energy and hope. And yes, he will be in the Adepticon tournament.
Okay. And what about my fellow gentleman?
Oh, I shall. I shall. Again, I will offer up as the ringer if they need one. But I as soon as we know that it's definite that there's a place, I will slide right in there with a real list. I will be taking Veerman probably because I love them so much. And
The Veerman playing my when Coach was playing him, he was playing with an army that wasn't set up to play my people too because he had a lot of smoke grenades. They still held their own. Like, if you actually built a list that was competitive, I think the Veerman could do well. Even Daria, with the list she took, was just kind of a test list. She never really got to test it out much, so it wasn't even that competitive, but I think you could really build a competitive Veerman list to really do well.
Also, there's going to be maybe one or two changes to the Veerman list since we've been, you know, we did it in a competitive thing. So I was watching a lot of games, taking notes, and there's going to be one or two changes to the Veerman just to kind of even them out, some things that we didn't see. You know, it's like anything else, you know, and guys that are listening that, you know, quote, they go on Facebook as a rules committee member. And I'm not speaking for the other. I'll just speak for myself. I really appreciate the fact that you say, you know, oh, what about this? Or what about that? And you bring up points and it's like, oh, cool. All right. You know what? I've never run into that situation, but I could see it happen. Let's fix it. But guys, everything doesn't need an FAQ. You know what I mean? It's sometimes you just common sense it, man. Just figure it out. I know it's not in the rule book. I know it's not in the FAQ, but sometimes just little things, man, it's very easy to figure out. But with the Veerman, it's like one or two things that we've been talking about that should be, they're technically a beta list, but it's pretty close to what it is, but there'll be one or two changes. And I think after that, where they are now, even without making these changes, they're pretty awesome. I mean, and for me, you guys know, man. I mean, I was, you know, especially Jack, me and Jack were just venomous when it came to the Veerman. Now it's like you got a chance and you got to work, man. You got to get some strategy. You got to know what you're going to do. You got to head up the command dice. You got to really work their strengths because it's not going to be an automatic win, but they are just so much better. I really enjoy playing them now. I really do.
Yeah, the addition of the Veerman Strider was probably what tipped it over the edge. But
well, Jack, I think we're going to change it from Frenzy 1 to Frenzy 2 because it's a double drill. You know,
everyone on Facebook's been saying that. I've been on Facebook, you know, for years, and they're all in chorus in unison. It has to be Frenzy 2, so it's the only call.
Also, you know, the Wiener Cannon that's on there, we're going to change that to a fight grenade launcher, which is acid AP7, range 42. So nice. And frag 11. So
we're toxic, I hope.
Oh, of course. I mean, come on, fight.
I'm starting to suspect you're teasing me. I think perhaps I'm the butt of a joke at this point.
Well, you're the butt, but not of a joke.
Hey-o!
Oh.
Well, now that we've gotten into this, I think we might have to wrap it up. It's a good wrap-up of that tournament. If you get a chance to get to any tournament, buddy, especially one Coach threw on, if he does another one coming up, do take that advantage because it was fun. And he really hooked us up. We had nice pizza for lunch and a lot of games with good prize support, and it was well worth the effort. And we should thank the store. What was the name of the store again?
It was the Final Fortress Games Flushing, New York. Arthur was the owner. He really did a nice thing. It's on 18808 Northern Boulevard in Flushing, New York. If you're in New York, it's an awesome thing. And now I hooked them up with Joe Neat, and they have an account now. They're going to start ordering Dead Zone. And the other day, Hot Dice was there giving out like doing a demo, and a few people were watching. So we're starting to, like I said, at the very top, if I want to build a community, I have to start building the community. And now we get a bunch of players, and hopefully the next tournament, we had 8 this time, which I thought was pretty good. It was a good turnout. If we can get 10, 12, 14, 18, the next few tournaments, and then introducing people to the game and just having fun at the tournament, I think this will help us grow. And I think Adepticon is going to help that, because it's going to be a big place. I'm in touch with a few other guys. They were supposed to come, but they couldn't make it. But, you know, there's a few other tournaments in the East Coast area that we can get to. So, you know, just I had to start it. That's why. I just, you know, I was like, why aren't there any Dead Zone tournaments? Oh, wait, you got to do it. All right, I'll do it. Whatever.
And yeah. So if you're listening, if you're listening out there, you should don't have a tournament scene in your area, it's because you haven't started yet. So you should get on that.
Yeah. And you know what? You don't have to have, you know, 30 guys show up. If you have 4 show up, that's 4 guys. You can get 4 games out of that. You know, so just do it. You know, have it for fun. And also, myself and Andy Sharp are working on a global list, you know, like a tournament list, so you can see where you are globally. But ranking. But we also want to do it by, you know, it's hard to say I'm the number one Dead Zone player in the world, but you live in England. I can't play you. So maybe the guy in Wisconsin is actually the best player, but we don't know. So we're going to have regions too. And then we want to have also top rankings with your faction. So you can say, man, I'm the worst enforcer player, but I am the number one Veerman player, you know? So there'll be like that. And then there's certain things. So we're working on it. It's a lot of work, boy. This stuff really is a lot of work. And when you have a job and you try to get everything done, it's tough, but it'll happen. It'll happen. There's no rush. So we have plenty of time to get this done, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, the founder of judo used to take jiu-jitsu, and they used to have tournaments. People were like ripping ears and eyes off and stuff. And he said, you know, to get this sport going, or to get this art propagated, we have to do it through sports and tournaments. And what he did was he took all the best techniques he could that weren't going to kill somebody, and he made judo. Judo's in the Olympics now. So, you know, I see that with Dead Zone. We could do it through good tournaments, but, you know, you don't want to go there and feel like a jerk, you know, that even if you lose a few games, you still have a chance to win. I think this is the way to do it. Just, you know, have fun, hang out, and just, you know, just play some Dead Zone.
Yeah. Words to live by.
There you go.
Well, I think that might wrap it up. So thank you, Coach, for coming on.
Anytime. I love coming on the team building exercise.
The award-winning team building exercise?
Yes.
Which is just come out. We just did the – who did we just do?
We did the Asterians.
Oh, that's right. We did the Asterians. That's right.
In honor of your tournament cherry being popped.
Yeah. Yes. So actually, yeah. You know what? That was the surprising one. It actually was there's a lot of meat in that one compared. You know, I was surprised because I didn't think it was, but then when we got to the crux of the matter, it was actually that's a juicy episode.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
So if you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to that one, and we'll continue on with the old team building exercise. Do you remember who we were doing next? I think Jack, you chose, didn't you?
No, I chose.
No.
Was it who would you choose? I can't remember.
I think was it the Rebs?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
It'll be a surprise to us all.
Surprise when you come back next month. It's surprise.
So until then, thank you. I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And I'm still Coach.
And come back for all of the coverage for Dead Zone on Family Gamer 777 and on Dead Zone the podcast. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Thank you for listening to Dead Zone the Podcast. And now a word from Captain Courage on Vinland Old Time Radio.
That's some fine writing on Vinland Old Time Radio. Counting the funnies on all my fingers.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.